Well, good morning, everybody. Once again, thank you for joining us here on this very special day, Mother's Day, and glad to see all the mothers that are here in our congregation. And I got worried, as I do at times when the elders come up and begin reading a passage of Scripture, that they didn't know I was going to be preaching on. But Pete shared a wonderful passage, a nice little jump start to our message this morning. So in light of Mother's Day, we're taking a break from the Gospel of John, and we're going to be in Proverbs. So if you have your Bibles, please open with me to Proverbs chapter 31. And this is a very well-known passage of Scripture, Proverbs chapter 31, regarding the excellent wife. And as I was studying this week, thinking about what I was going to say on this very special day for mothers, the Lord showed me a very unique truth that we may not think about all the time. And that is, every single person on this planet has a mother. Whether you like your mother or not, whether you live next door or with your mother, whether you live thousands of miles away, everybody has a mother. And everyone has a different kind of mother. If you grew up in America, that would look very different from a mother, say, in Indonesia or China or some other culture. But as I studied this passage, I realized that there's one thing that all mothers have in common. And God has created them for their families. He has created them with a love, with a role that pertains to every woman, no matter where you are on this planet. All mothers have the same task of loving their children, of loving their husbands, of loving their families. And we're going to look this morning at the excellent wife, as the proverb calls it. So join with me as we read in Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 10 through the end of the chapter. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and no harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet midnight and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her house are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Will you join with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us your precious word. Father, we thank you that you have given us the incredible blessing and wonder of a mother. Father, I pray as we look to our text this morning that you have placed here for us, Lord, I pray that we would be challenged this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would leave here better equipped to serve you and to glorify you and to accomplish that which you have called us to do. Lord, we're so very thankful for our mothers. We're so very thankful for the love, the tenderness, and the care that mothers have so often. And we thank you, Lord, for that blessing. Again, as we look to your word now, bless this time, Lord. Use it for your glory. May you be exalted today as we study your word. In Christ's name we pray. We love you, our Savior. Amen. So as we look at this passage this morning, I want to give you a couple of points of overview looking at this chapter. As I stated before, it's a pretty well-known chapter. Most of us have heard about it or read this portion of Scripture. But I want to give you a couple of details to get us just a better understanding, a handle on this text. This is the last chapter in the book of Proverbs. And this particular chapter was written by, we believe, King Solomon. If you look at verse 1 of chapter 31, it says, "The words of King Lemuel." And we're not sure who that king is, but his name means devoted to God. And we know that Solomon wrote most of Proverbs. So we believe that these are the words of Solomon. And we believe that that name there in verse 1 is a name of endearment that his mother had for him. So if that's the case, then these verses of chapter 31 are not from Solomon himself, but the recordings of what his mother Bathsheba told him as he grew up as a young man. So these are the words and thoughts, not necessarily of a man, but of the mother who taught this young man. Another interesting aspect about this chapter that you may not know is, if we were reading this in Hebrew, you'd pick it up really quick, and that is that this is an acrostic poem. And basically what that means is that beginning in verse 10, every verse starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it'll start with Aleph, then the next verse is Beit, and it goes all the way till you get to the end. And they use that to help memorize, but it's a very uniquely written poem, if you will, about a mother. So it kind of adds emphasis to the importance of this. This is actually a portion of Scripture that the Hebrews would pray. This is something that they would recite to their children. It was a part of their life. This wasn't just some random text, but it was something that the Hebrews held very dear and close to their family life. We can see this pattern in Psalm 119 as well. If you don't have to turn there, but if you go there, you'll see the same thing. And there's the beginning and the end of the Hebrew alphabet put in there, and that kind of emphasizes its importance. It's something that they want us to grasp. But a little deeper than that, the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. If you've ever read through Proverbs, you'll see that it's kind of scattered. One verse will be talking about hearing the instruction of your parents, and the next verse will be talking about how to be wise out in the work field or something like that. It's kind of scattered, but it's all about wisdom. And beginning in chapter 1, verse 20, we hear about the wisdom of this book. And if you look at chapter 8, verse 1, this is very important before we get into our study this morning. In chapter 8, verse 1, listen to what Solomon says. "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice?" Early in the book, Solomon personifies wisdom as a woman. He puts it in the feminine text. Does not wisdom raise her voice? Same thing happens in the next chapter, chapter 9, very first verse again. Notice, wisdom has built her house. So he attaches a feminine aspect to wisdom early on in this book. Now that's important because now as we come to chapter 31, we're talking about an excellent wife. We're talking about a woman of excellency in her home. So the underlying factor here is not simply this is not simply some blueprint. Let's read through Psalm 31 and see what we can do to be a good mom. No, it's greater than that. This is a picture of wisdom at work in a mother's life. That's the greater context of this. As you read this, this is how wisdom works out in a godly mother's home. So not only can we glean some specific principles from this text, but we can learn that it is wisdom, and we'll see that at the end of the chapter, that is truly guiding every decision and every characteristic of this excellent mother. Now, this chapter can be broken down into three main points that we're going to look at this morning. The first is found in verse 10, and that's the woman presented. What kind of woman are we talking about here? Secondly, we're going to see the woman portrayed. What does this woman look like? What are her deeds? What are her actions? What's her character like? And then finally, at the end, we're going to see the woman praised. So she's going to be presented, portrayed, and then finally praised. And again, what's amazing about God's word is that this text applies to every single wife or mother on the face of the planet. Nobody can say that these principles aren't relevant anymore that we're going to read this morning. The application may be a little different. I don't think anyone's going to leave this morning seeking wool or flax after the sermon. However, the underlying principles are there, and I hope that you'll leave today a little bit more encouraged to walk with the Lord, especially as mothers. So, that's enough introduction. Let's get into this chapter. Begin in verse 10 with me. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The beginning of this section is very gripping, is it not? It begins with a question. Who can find an excellent wife? What the proverb is saying here is this is something that is very unique. An excellent wife is hard to find. This is not something that is just everywhere. It's not something easily found. An excellent wife is rare. Notice at the end he says she is far more precious than jewels. So right on the onset, Solomon's mother wants us to know that a good wife, an excellent wife as he calls her, is rare and she is precious. She is worth far more than precious jewels. Very gripping introduction here. Who is this woman? What does she look like? He goes on to say, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Notice, this speaks to the relation between the wife and the husband. In the marital relationship, the most important relationship you have, other than with God, is with your spouse. The first thing that Bathsheba tells Solomon is that the heart of the husband trusts in his wife. He trusts in his wife. What an important characteristic this is. Trust is absolutely essential to a successful marriage. You must establish trust between you and your spouse. And that is the first thing listed here as an attribute of a godly wife. The Hebrew word there for trust means to put confidence, to be secure, to be sure of. This is a husband that trusts in his wife. He can confide in his wife. He knows that she will be faithful to him, and he knows that she will cherish no other man or put any other person's needs above his own. This is a man who completely clings to his wife fully without any reservation. But notice the end of verse 11. And it says, and he will have no lack of gain. Basically, what he's saying is the wife's character is a treasure so vast that even in the darkest circumstances, he will never be in poverty. A godly wife is treasured more than all the treasures of this world. He is never in lack of anything because he has a godly wife. He goes on to say, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Here we see the second portrayal of the woman. The woman is now portrayed from here all the way to verse 22. Notice every verse begins with she. She does, she seeks, she is, she rises. Now we're going to look at what this woman likes. What does this rare woman look like? What does this gem look like? What is her character? Again, the first thing we see is in relation to her husband. She does him good and not harm. Notice how often she does that. All the days of her life. This speaks to a wife who is fully committed to her husband. Her character and love for her husband is constantly before her. All the days of her life, she is pursuing the love, the commitment, and dedication to her husband. She does him good. She seeks his good. She doesn't seek to harm him. She doesn't seek to trap him. She doesn't seek to confuse him or to lead him astray. She seeks his good every single day. All the days of her life, she's pursuing the goodness of her husband. This also is a picture of wisdom, is it not? We can trust in wisdom. And when God gives us wisdom, it always leads us in the right direction. Wisdom will never lead you astray. He goes on to say, verse 13, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. Now, what is he saying here? Again, this was written almost more than 2,000 years ago. The culture is very different. Wool and flax were items that were used to make clothing. So here he's saying that she makes clothes for her family. And notice how she does that. She seeks wool and flax, and she works with what? Willing hands. This describes her attitude. The mother is working for her family, and she does this willingly. She's not forced to provide for her family. She's not forced to provide clothing for her family. She does it willingly. She understands this is something that a mother does. She takes care of her children, and she does it willingly. She's not forced into this position. 14 describes how she does this. She is like the ships of the merchants. She brings her food from afar. What does that mean? Merchant ships would bring goods from afar. Other countries have valuable things that they would bring into ports. And this is portraying a mother who is seeking the best for her family. She's not just satisfied with mediocre. She doesn't just say, okay, you know what, that'll do. That's fine. That's good enough. This is a mother who seeks the goods from afar. She goes above and beyond to seek the best for her family. The excellent wife seeks the best, and she's not idle. Verse 15, she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. When he says she rises before night, means before the sun comes up, before dawn. This is a mother that wakes up early, and in that time, that was very necessary. Because when you're in the desert, the earlier the men can get to work, the less they have to be in the heat of the day. So this speaks of a mother who's concerned for her husband, who's concerned for her family, and she knows that if she gets up early, if she gets up before the sun, and she completes the task she needs to do to provide for her family, she knows that it will benefit them later on in the day. This is a mother who is not idle. This is a mother who loves her family. This is a mother who leaps forward and does what she needs to do to help benefit her family in any way she can. Now again, why is she doing this? We're only a couple verses in, but we're already seeing that she's willingly preparing the needs of her family. We see that she's rising early. She's seeking everybody else's benefit but her own. Why would a mother do this? Why would a mother do this? We're going to read more things she does, but why? Well, number one, it's because of love. What drives us to do things? What drives us to sacrifice for our children? It's love. Love must be at the core of everything a mother does. This is a woman who loves her family. But there's also a second reason. This is very important this morning. As one commentator notes, the mother portrayed here is secure in her true state in the home. This is a mother who understands that her primary responsibility is to her family. She has a laser beam focus. She says, I am a wife, I am a mother, my job is my family. That is her primary task. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. We'll just take a brief side tour here. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. And this is Paul's instruction to a church, but more specifically Titus, who was a preacher in Ephesus. I want you to see the words that he has for members of the church. He speaks to older men, he speaks to older women, he speaks to the younger men. But look what he says to the older women in the church, beginning in verse 3. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the words of God may not be reviled. I know what you're thinking. Is he really going to preach on wives submitting to their husbands on Mother's Day? No, we're not going there today. But what I want to point out here, and this is a very important principle. Remember, it's the word of God that guides our lives, not culture. It's the word of God. So listen to the words of God this morning. Paul tells Timothy, first, the older women in the church, you who are mothers, he says, you have a great responsibility. You have a task, and that is to teach the younger women in the church, but not to teach them to become CEOs or rich investors or pro athletes. He says, teach and train them in what way? Number one, to love their husbands and children. Love their families. Number one, teach them to love their families. Number two, look at that word in verse 5. Pure. Teach young women to be pure. I want you to let that word sink deep in your mind in contrast to our culture. Teach these women to be pure. And finally, working at home. The primary role of a mother is in her home with her family. It's to watch her children. It's to care for her children. It's to make sure that her children are walking with the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says that a woman will be saved through childbearing because she has the absolute important role given by God to raise her children to follow Christ. Think of that overwhelming responsibility. What a precious gift that is from God to mothers. You have the opportunity to raise your children to walk with Christ. Each and every day, every lesson, every Bible story, every minute you spend with your child, you have the opportunity to mold and shape them more into the image of Christ. Now, as we go back to Proverbs 31, notice there's little balance here. We didn't say women can't work. We didn't say mothers can't work. But what I want to stress this morning is that the primary role of a wife and a mother is her family. It's her family. That is her focus. Notice in verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Simply what these verses are talking about here is a wife is a godly wife, an excellent wife is not only focused and dedicated to serving her family, but she's also wise. She's savvy. Look in verse 16. She buys a field. She considers a field. She buys it so that she can provide food for her family. She plants a vineyard. And notice her character in verse 17. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. For those of you who are mothers, you know that it's not always easy being a mom. It's not always easy doing everything that you need to do as a mother. I know that at times it's not easy for my wife to put up with me, even though I'm close to perfect, I think. She'll tell me otherwise. But it's not easy. You have children, you have a husband, and you have all that comes along with the family. And verse 17 says, she dresses herself. I love that analogy. She clothes herself with strength, and she makes her arms strong. This is a mother who says, I know what I need to do. It may be tough, but I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep pressing on. This is a woman of strength. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. What is that saying? Well, we saw that she rises before the sun comes up. And now verse 18 is saying she goes to bed after the sun goes down. She's up early, she goes to bed late is what the psalmist is saying here. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. What he's saying there is what she does, the clothes she makes for her children, the things she provides for her family are of good quality. Again, that goes back to she seeks the best. And it says here that her merchandise is profitable. It's of great value because she only seeks to get the best for her family. Verse 19, again, is referring back to verse 13. She puts her hand to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. That's speaking of making clothing. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and she reaches out her hands to the needy. This is a mother with compassion and mercy. We just read that she's strong in verse 17, and now in verse 20, she reaches her hand out to the needy. This is a woman of compassion, a woman of mercy. Now, up to this point, let me just stop and say, husbands, have you noticed all the responsibilities of your wife kind of piling up here? Have you noticed that being a mom isn't just changing diapers or just doing all the little mediocre things that we think of mothers doing at times? Sometimes it's easy for us as husbands to overlook all that our wives and all that our mothers have to do day in and day out, day in and day out. It never stops, not even on the weekends. I got a little taste of that last week. Most of you know my wife had a concussion 2 weeks ago, and she was out for a couple of days. By the end of that third day, I was about to pull what hair I have out of my head. But I have three little ones, you know, all under the age of five. And it was a joy, but I had to pull a little bit of overtime with them. And just that little bit of overtime over the course of those few days really made me appreciate. God used that. God used that to remind me of how much mothers go through, of how much work it takes to answer every question the child asks for 20 minutes. The hardest part is looking at the child that doesn't know how to talk, and he's saying something. I have no idea what it is. She knows. I don't know. I'll come to her, and I'll say, babe, he's saying chukabaka. What's that? Like, it's thunder, Matt. It thundered the other day, so that's what my one-year-old calls thunder, chukabaka. So, but again, things that I've learned that my wife knows, She knows. She knows these things. She knows her children. She loves them. She pours her heart, her life into these children. Even the days when she's tired, even the days when she says, you know what, I just don't feel like it. You can't take a break. A one-year-old can't take care of himself. And mothers are women who are strong. They're strong. Some days I go to work and it's like a vacation. And I don't say that to be disrespectful or mean. I'm serious. It's so much work with three little ones. Some of you, even two, even one, a child is a child. He needs your attention. Mothers work very, very hard. Husbands, you need to be praying for your wife every day. You need to be loving your wife. You need to be supporting your wife. And you need to be spending time with your wife without the kids, I've learned. Ask your wife, husbands, how you can help, what you can do. How can you guard her? How can you protect her? And how can you help her carry on every single day? Husbands, you need to treat your wife like she's the last flower on earth. Guys, she needs a break from time to time. It's not easy being a mother. It's not. There is a lot of hard work that goes into raising children, into loving your family. And I cannot stress that enough. Love your wives, husbands. Father's Day is around the corner. I think you know what the message is going to be on. But husbands, love your wives. Be praying for them. Be praying for your spouse. They desperately need it, especially in our world today. Be praying for your spouse. Jump in. How can you help her? How can you strengthen her? That's why God has put you there. You are the head of that home to make sure that your wife is taken care of, to make sure that your family is taken care of. Love your wives, husbands. Verse 21 through 23 now introduces a new little section here. We've seen her making clothes. We've seen her dedicated to her family. We've seen her doing all these various things. And now verses 21 through 23 are going to show the fruit of her labor. Notice, she is not afraid of snow for her household is clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So simply what he's saying here is in verse 21, because of all her hard work, she's not afraid of the weather because her children are clothed. In verse 22, because of all her hard work, she's blessed. It says that she has fine linen and purple. Those are items of wealth. She's been blessed because of her hard work. Verse 23, her husband is blessed as well because he's known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The gates is where everyone would gather. It's kind of like a focal point where trade and all this stuff would take place. He says when her husband is there, he's known. Everyone knows him. This is a man of honor. So 21, 22, 23, these are benefits. These are reapings, gleanings of a godly woman who works hard. She makes linen garments, verse 24, and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. Again, I like MacArthur's note on this verse. He says, it is only after the mother's primary duties and responsibilities that she can pursue other ventures. There's nothing wrong with it. You can pursue other ventures, but make sure we keep what is primary, primary, and what is secondary, secondary. After she's completed all her tasks, verse 24, she has the opportunity to trade and have a little side business and make a little money. That's what verse 24 is saying. In verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Notice we already talked about her being strong. It's emphasized again here in verse 25. Strength is core to a godly mother because it is not easy. An excellent mother is strong, and here in verse 25, and is full of dignity. That is, she does things the right way and at the right time. She doesn't give up. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And I really want to stress this point this morning. Some of the greatest characteristics, the ones that I have, come because of how my mother raised me. What she taught me before I even knew how to speak, teaching me Bible stories, taking me to church, loving me, pointing me to God. And that is what is being described here. A mother has wisdom, and she teaches with kindness. This is a mother who's approachable by her children and her husband. They're not afraid to go to her. They know that she will have wisdom. They know that she will have kindness. She won't fly off the handle. She won't just lose her temper. But if something goes wrong, they know they can go to mom and she will steer them in the right direction. She has wisdom coupled with grace. Ladies, are your words in the home seasoned with grace? Are your words seasoned with grace? Are you approachable? Can your children come to you and know that mom will be there to help guide them and steer them in the right direction? Can they count on your advice? Mothers, in order to attain verse 26, you must be in God's word. You must be praying. James says wisdom comes from the Lord. You must be saturating yourself in prayer, in the word of God, every moment that you can. I know it's not easy, especially when you have children, but you need that wisdom from above. Now notice verse 27 is kind of a summary of everything we've talked about. He says, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So there's two things he's saying here. Number one, she looks to her household. That is, she manages. She supervises. She sees all the things going on in her home, and she manages it well. She's involved. Everyone knows that mom knows what's going on, right? Mom has eyes in the back of her head. We all know that. This is a mother who knows what's going on with her children. She doesn't turn a blind eye, but she's engaged with every aspect of the home, and she guards it, and she keeps evil out. She's not lazy. She's focused on what needs to be done and then does it. That's what she does not eat the bread of idleness means. Now, the closing of this wonderful chapter in verse 28 gives us our last section. And this is the woman praised. We saw the woman presented, the woman portrayed, and now the woman is praised. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. What are the rewards of an excellent wife that we've seen so far? Her husband trusts in her. Her family's needs are met. She personally is blessed. Her husband is honored. She has confidence for the future. She is praised and she is honored. Finally, we see here by her family. Is there a greater reward for a mother or a wife than to be praised and honored by those whom she loves most? That's what we see here at the end. The mother who pursues godliness, who pours her life into her family, is praised. And notice her husband gives the greatest praise, verse 29. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. An excellent wife to her husband is far greater than anything this world has to offer. And then we get some words from wisdom. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, this isn't saying that if you're charming or beautiful, that that's bad. That's not what this is saying at all. Thank God. But what it's saying here, simply, is that there's something about beauty. There's something about charm that'll make a man look past a woman who is not of great value. A woman who is not for the Lord, but against him, can look good in the eyes of a man simply because she's beautiful. And what the psalmist is, what he's saying here simply is, charm and beauty are good things, but don't let that skew your conscience. I've just spent 20 verses showing you what an excellent wife looks like. Look for that. Don't just look for beauty and say, she's beautiful, that's it, that's the one. He says, don't let those things deceive you. What kind of woman should you look for? A woman who fears the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Are we supposed to be afraid of God? No. It simply means reverence. Reverence. Look for a woman who fears the Lord, who honors God. Wives, mothers, does that mark your life? Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Are you always seeking Christ above all else? In every aspect of your life, in raising your children and loving your husband and doing all the things you do, is it all centered on a reverence for Christ? That is the key to this whole chapter, verse 30. The woman who fears the Lord has the wisdom to accomplish all the things that we just read about. And finally, in closing, verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Notice verse 28, praise her. Verse 29, the husband praises her. Verse 30, she fears the Lord, she's to be praised. Verse 31, praise her. An excellent wife is worthy of praise. We saw her husband back in verse 23 was honored in the gates, outside the home. So an excellent wife is honored outside the home. And that's how he ends this proverb. So a lot of information, a lot of topical things for a mother. So how do we kind of sum all this up? Let me give you two words of wisdom as we close this morning. This comes from an article I was reading a little earlier this week. What is the Proverbs 31 wife in a statement? She is a fierce warrior, provider, and protector who cares about her family. She is wise to the ways of the world, but lives by the wisdom of God. That is the definition of the Proverbs 31 mother. My hope for you this morning, church, my hope for you this morning, mothers, is that you would cling to verse 30. You want to know what it means to live as a godly mother? Pursue Christ. Pursue Christ. Look to your Savior. Every word that comes out of your mouth towards your children, ask yourself, does this honor Christ? Every word you say to your husband when you're happy or upset, ask yourself, does this honor Christ? When Christ is at the center of your marriage, when it's at the center of your home, when Christ is in the center of your heart as a mother, everything else will blossom from that relationship that you have with your Savior. And that is my prayer this morning, that each and every mother in here today would find their strength in Christ and pursue him with all of their heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've shown us in your word today. Father, this text jumps around a lot. There's a lot of different points in here. There's a lot to see in this passage this morning. And as we saw at the beginning, it almost seems unattainable. Who can find an excellent wife? Is it even possible? And Lord, we know that we're not perfect, but we know, Father, that by the grace of God, by the power of your Spirit working within us, Lord, we can be who you have called us to be. Father, we thank you for this wonderful chapter, and we thank you for the words of wisdom that we've seen this morning. And Lord, I just want to lift up our mothers before you today. Lord, I am aware that there are mothers who have done their best, who have poured every ounce of energy into their families, but their children are not walking with the Lord. Father, I know that there are mothers who have poured into their families, and the family didn't turn out the way they'd hoped. But Lord, we know that you're in control. Father, we can rest in knowing that we're not the ones responsible ultimately, but you are. It is by the power of your Spirit, Father, that people are changed. And Lord, I pray if there are any mothers here today who are broken, if there are mothers here today who have lost their mother, this is maybe the first Mother's Day that they're not with their moms. Lord, I pray that you would comfort them. I pray that your grace would be poured out on them today. But Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged through your word. I pray, Lord, that we would leave here today, that our mothers would leave here today with a sense of just awe for who you are, with a sense of strength, Lord, and knowing that this is what you have created them for. You have designed them to be those warriors in the home. Oh, Father, we thank you for the precious gift of mothers. And I pray that you would bless each and every one of them here today. In your name we pray. We love you, Lord. Amen.